What is going on, podcast land? This is Kyle O'Shields. I'm sitting here with Dylan Brown on video. Welcome back to the show. We're here for another episode. We got the sword out in front of us right here. Yes. This thing is sharp. The thing will cut you coming and going. I actually forgot coffee. I'm not going to lie. Ooh. I do not have coffee in front of me right now.
So. Well, I do have coffee, but I also am kind of a shameful coffee because and me and Kyle are recording this sort of on a later evening. So I've already had a couple cups of coffee today. So I am drinking a cup of decaf coffee. So Kyle's got no coffee. I got decaf, but it's the darndest best decaf coffee I've ever had. I'll give a shout out. Because most decaf coffee just is watered down. This decaf coffee actually tastes like legit coffee as far as, like, if you're making it at the house, like in a Keurig or something, but it's the Starbucks house blend decaf. And it actually still has some potency to it, in my opinion. There so go. I got that with actually a little bit of butter, a little bit of almond milk, and a little bit of raw honey. So I got to make sure everything in that. And a little bit more manly. I mean, it's not going to win any tough awards, but it's a little bit more manly than last week's cup. So I feel good, ready to go.
There we go. So I don't know if you can say caffeinated Bible chatter on this one, but
decaffeinated Bible chatter for this week. But we're talking about we're bringing the caffeine in the subject of the episode. Yes. So the heat That's will right. be coming.
That's right. All right. Well, this is April 6th, so I think our last episode, it will be relevant in 2 days, April 8th, with the solar eclipse thing that's supposed to happen. I don't know if we'll be able to see it. I don't know about all that. But if you missed it, go check it out. We talked about the darkness of the sun, which is what's going to happen on April 8th. Talked about the blood moons and all that stuff and how it's linked to the second coming. So if you missed that one, go check it out, because that came from just all the crazy videos that have been coming out recently. Even Christians saying, "Oh, this may be the end. There's the solar eclipse on April 8th." And Dylan, you know, mentioned some of those crazy things, how it lines up with all the sixes or whatever with that. Yeah. But
and technically, when by the time this episode drops, April 8th will have passed, and so you will see that we were right. Yes. And so give that.
So if you're listening to this episode, yeah. If you are listening to this right now, April 8th was not the end of the world.
That's right.
But okay, so this one today, this will be another listener episode, like how we did a couple weeks ago when we talked about eternal security. This is one that a listener sent a message over. And they were asking some things on hell. Wanted to do an episode on hell. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to, you know, as always, as usual, do a word search on hell and let the Bible, let the words of God tell us about this thing of hell. You know. So I guess I don't know where you want to start, or if you had a certain verse you wanted to read first, or.
Well, I just had. Romans 6:23 laid up, doesn't actually use the word hell, but it's just a very popular verse regarding, you know, we use it in the Romans Road, we use it to evangelize, and I would say it's probably arguably the most influential verse when I got saved. As far as, I feel like it's the gospel in a nutshell, if you will, gives both sides, but it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so the wages of our sin, and every person is a sinner because they're born in Adam, and because of that we're in sin. Well, the wage of that, what we get in return for that by nature, is death, and that death is eternal. And we'll say more things about that, but maybe you're somebody that's sliding on here and you're only going to listen to a few minutes of this because that happens a lot. Well, the reality is, and that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, but that is that hell is real. It is an eternal place. And it is a painful place, and it is a place separate in separation from the Lord, your creator. And you don't have to go there, because Romans 6:23 has a but in there, which is a conjunction. So, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift The offsetting thing of that eternal punishment is the gift, which is eternal life through the avenue of receiving the eternal life is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's done that through the gospel, through who he is, becoming perfect God in the flesh, living a sinless life, going to the cross, giving his life and shedding his blood on the cross, dying, being buried, and then actually going to hell during his burial, and then rising from the grave. And that offers eternal life to whoever will receive it. So you don't have to go there. Let that be a blessing. If you're lost and somehow you've crept upon this, then consider that. But like Kyle said, we did have this from this request from a listener, and we're just kind of doing some one-off stuff right now. So we thought we can go ahead and tackle it. And to be honest, you know, it's weird because everybody's in different circles and talks to different people, and especially different parts of the country and all those things. But, you know, like for me, it's not even comprehensible for me that that people even think that hell's not a legitimate thing. And Kyle, I got so nervous. I felt a sneeze coming on. And we don't know how to edit these. So if a sneeze comes on, guys, just bear. If you were in the early days, you heard me coughing a lot. That was before. That was pre-sinus surgery. So a sneeze may come eventually. But yeah, like the guy reached out, and that was cool. And we want more and more people to do that. And he was talking about how he ran into a guy. I think one thing was a Facebook thing, and he was, I think, talking with somebody else or something like that. But these people were struggling with the reality that they thought that hell was just a final place of like a final, like that hell equaled destruction. It's kind of the way he worded it. It's like a bad thing, but maybe not necessarily. That person didn't necessarily believe in the full content of what the Bible lays out as hell.
Almost like it's like a state of mind or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Like a state of mind and stuff like that. And a lot of people will think like that, and we'll actually talk about this here in a second, but because they'll try to supersede the Greek or the Hebrew over their Bible, their you know, for us, a King James Bible. Now, again, that goes back to the same subject. If you don't have a final authority, then you're always going to be in trouble when it comes to studying these matters out. You're going to have to lean on logic and stuff like that, which is never a good thing. Because we want to compare scripture with scripture and that alone, and leave our logic and our ideas out completely out the window. Because everybody has an opinion, and they normally stink. They're normally not that good. There's only two people. I've realized this. There's only two people. We've all had this friend before, or known a person like this. There's two people that really value. This normally happens with a guy. Two people really value the know-it-all's opinion. Number one, themself, and number two, their mom. A guy, if you're a guy and you're between the age of 21 and 35 right now, maybe through 40, 21 to 40 years old, and you think you are Mr. Smart, there's two people that value your opinion. Probably you and probably your mom. Okay. Outside of that, probably not even your wife, with all due respect. If you've got a wife, she probably doesn't value it as much as you think she does. But anyway, that was a rabbit trail that I don't know how I got on that. But yeah, so people have these misconceptions of hell. And so this listener messaged us on Facebook and was like, "Hey, can you talk on this?" And so we thought, you know what, let's just break it down like we do anything else. And this is something being raised in a good Bible believing church like we have. This is something that, like, I know it's real and know it's true and could go to verses, but I haven't really done like a good study on it necessarily, because it's like, oh, wow, that seems pretty obvious and simple. But we'll do that real quick and just kind of lay out why we know that that's a reality, because we have to be able to defend what we believe if we're going to be true seekers of truth and we want to walk in that truth. So when you look up the word hell in the King James Bible, and again, that is what we use, that is our final authority. Hell is mentioned 55 times in 54 verses is how often hell is mentioned. So you need to understand this, that the first, and Kyle, if you want to go to Deuteronomy 32:22,
yep.
We oftentimes go to the first mention of a word because it's not perfect every time, but for the most part, The first mention of a word kind of gives us an association for what that word means consistently throughout Scripture. And so the first mention of hell is Deuteronomy 32, 22. I believe, I can't remember, I didn't write this down, but I believe hell is fairly, like there's the difference in how many times it's mentioned in the Old Testament versus New Testament. I don't think it's a drastic difference. I think the New Testament had more, but it's not like super far off. But the first mention is in the Old Testament, is in the book of Deuteronomy. So go ahead and read that, big guy.
Deuteronomy 32:22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains.
So, okay, so that's the first mention of hell. And what we can find already is that in the first mention, it's associated with fire and it's associated with burning. So again, if you're in a decent church, like you hear that and you're like, well, duh. Yeah, pretty, that's easy. Well, I agree, but there really is a large amount of people that just like with anything else, they are trying to water down the truth. That's what people are constantly trying to do, probably worldwide, but especially in America, in the very liberal-minded, weak-hearted, soft society that we have. And that's mostly a man problem. The men in this country are like that. And so because of that, people are always trying to water down and soften the blow of reality. Our country, America, and maybe there's other countries like this, but the world today loves relative truth. They do not like absolute truth. Well, that is why we continue to go to the Word of God, is because we want the absolute truth and we want to leave relative truth or what we think could be a possibility. We want to leave that out of the equation because we don't really care about that. And you don't care about that either. So it's associated with fire and it's associated with burning. Okay, so obviously the Old Testament was a Hebrew text and the New Testament was a Greek text. Now, if you've been with us for a while, you know that we do not, again, I said it earlier, we do not supersede the Hebrew and Greek above our King James Bible. Okay, we believe God preserved his word in our Bible, so we don't have to correct anything. You sometimes get yourself in trouble that way if you try to correct your English Bible with certain manuscripts. But nonetheless, go back and listen to our King James stuff if you're wondering our position on that. But the Old Testament word for hell, the Hebrew word, is Sheol. And this is where people will sometimes get this stuff, which is also translated, that same original Hebrew word is also translated by the King James translators in the Old Testament as grave, mostly as grave, or mostly as a pit. So like for the grave thing, what people will do is they'll say, like Kyle said, it's a, you know, that's the final resting place. It's just a grave. Okay. Well, hell is certainly like a grave in the sense that it is in the center of the earth and stuff like that. And you do a word study on the word pit in your Bible, in the King James Bible, and pit is never associated with a good thing. And there's a bottomless pit, and there's all kinds of stuff. So we don't have time to get into that. But those are sometimes how it's translated in other places. But again, even over that, we'll just put comparing Scripture with Scripture in the Bible that we have. Okay, in the New Testament, the Greek word is Gehenna. And you'll hear a lot of people talk about that because they, for some reason, think it makes them smarter when they say Gehenna, like just randomly in an English sermon. They're preaching, everything's English, and all of a sudden they say Gehenna out of nowhere. And you're like, are we speaking in tongues? Or what, like, why is that the only word out of the whole sentence, the whole 10 sentences you just said, that's the only word that you changed the language to? I'll say this. And I'm an associate pastor at a local church, so I feel like I can say this. One man told me one time, and he was a pastor as well, told me one time that pastors are the third sex of people. And that's the truth. What do you mean by that? Pastors are weird. They're just weird. Not all of them. I like to think I'm not weird. Maybe I am. But you go to like a thing with a lot of pastors. I'm not talking about, you know, I know a lot of cool pastors, a lot of them. But if you take a 500 pastors and put them in a room, you don't see a lot of weird people. So just take that for what you will too, but they'll do that. They'll say, you know, and that they went on down to Gehenna. And it's like, oh, okay. So he randomly brought the Greek word there. But that is the Greek word. But every time that word is shown in other places, Gehenna, in the New Testament, it's always translated as hell. So they really can't, you know, do a whole lot with that. All right. So there is the actual wording of that. 55 times in 54 verses. First mentions Deuteronomy 32, 22, and it's associated with fire and burning. Okay. So when laying out this stuff, we made the comment earlier, and from the guy, from the listener that requested this, how oftentimes people are, they don't believe in the legitimacy of hell. They, you know, associate it with, they spiritualize it. At the end of the day, what they're doing is spiritualizing it or approaching it in an allegory, which is the same. Gosh, man, we talked about this kind of stuff so much in the past. Like, I feel like every episode this is coming up somehow because it's such a key thing in Bible study. But anytime you approach the Bible in a non-literal approach, you're gonna end up in a ditch somewhere. You're gonna end up in a ditch. Okay, are there allegories or pictures or spiritual meanings to things in the Bible? Yes, of course. But the Bible is not a Christian book. That's the problem. People think the Bible is like the Christian in this age is the center point of the Bible. No. The Bible is a history book that is laying out all of God's workings through different peoples and different time frames across 7,000 years by the end of the millennium. This is not a Christian. A Christian is only a 2,000-year window. This is not a Christian book. Does it talk to the church? Yeah, in Paul's epistles it does. Okay, but you got to get – sometimes we get ourselves as the centerpiece of the Bible. Like the Bible is all about us. No, the Bible is not all about us. The Bible is all about the Lord. That's why the theme of the Bible is the second coming of Christ.
That's why all these other religions are around.
Yeah,
thinking absolutely. It's a Christian book.
Absolutely. So anytime someone approaches the Bible with an allegorical approach, there's going to be places where, again, you're going to be that. Gosh, it's always a lady for some reason in this. I was hating on the men earlier, now I'm going to hate on the lady. It's always the lady in a Bible study. That, you know, you're in a Bible study about 5 or 6, 7, 8 people, who knows? And you read the passage, everybody reads the passage, and then someone, you know, the lady kind of starts talking or raise her hand, however formal this thing is. And she's like, I feel like this means to me, blah, 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 blah. And oh man, every time I hear that, I'm like, I mean, let me crawl in a closet because this is about to get weird. I feel like this to me. Okay, now again, I believe in devotional application that you know the word of God can be preached and people can take different takeaways and the Spirit of God can move in their life in different ways. I'm not diminishing that, but again, it goes back to we have to approach the Word of God literally. This is what it says. God said what He meant, and He meant what He says. And so, if you don't do that, you're going to get into trouble. People do that with the subject like anything else. So, Pope Francis, who's the Pope of Catholic Church, he said, he was in an interview. I don't actually know when this interview was, but this, I think it was at the beginning of this year. And he was asked the question of how he imagines hell. And again, this is where you get in trouble. Because if somebody asks me, how do you imagine hell, Dylan? Well, I can give them all kind of little thoughts and whatever. But at the end of the day, my imagination of the place doesn't really matter. Okay. Eventually, I'm going to try to circle back to the Word of God and say, well, this is what the Bible says. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. This is what Pope Francis said back. And I don't have the full article of the interview. Maybe this is clickbaity, but this is what it says. He says, what I'm going to say, my phone literally, what are the chances of that? And we don't have a way to. Okay, Kyle.
Did it die?
It just died on me. Y'all give me a second. I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling it up right now via the iPad. Okay. Pope Francis said this is not a dogmatic thing of their faith, but he said that he imagines or hopes that hell is empty. Okay, so you can't make a statement like that and at the same time also believe that hell is a place that people go to immediately after death if they don't know the Lord. Now, again, the Catholic Church, their methods of salvation are completely unbiblical. It's a faith and works system. You know, we've got to keep ordinances or sacraments, what they call them, stuff like that. But nonetheless, the Catholic Church typically in history has still believed in hell. Now, they would believe in purgatory and all that garbage, which is not biblical. But he said that he hopes hell is empty. Okay, well, I would never make a statement like that because I know that it's not. I don't hope for something that I know there's a 0% chance of. That's like saying that I hope, because I'm about to be 30. That's like saying that I hope I still make the NBA. I'm not making the NBA or I'm not making anything with an association attached to it with sports, this professional. So I don't hope for that. Well, that's what Pope Francis said. And that's just a cry and shame because it shows again, which the Catholic Church is known for this. And it rolls over into Calvinism, into other things. But they actually don't even believe the entire book of Revelation. They think the entire book of Revelation is not literal. It's allegorical. And an allegorical approach is their primary approach to Scripture. That's how they can say stuff like, well, the common person doesn't really understand the Bible. They need us to tell them what it says because they don't believe the common person can just pick up their Bible and open it and just read it for themselves and receive truth. So it's just a big old joke. So it's a massive thing out there and it's growing. It's growing. And some people will talk about hell in the context of it just being, you know, it's just eternal separation from God. Okay, well, it certainly is that. But we're going to try to put the parameters here from Scripture on exactly what hell is, even if some of them are very blatantly obvious and probably already known from you. So it's important that we know, not that Jesus's words on earth are any more important than the rest of the Word of God. People like love to do the whole, like this red letters, you know, like, well, whatever. But it is, I will say that Jesus, taught on hell specifically using the word 15 times. And at least we have in Scripture in his ministry. So I have five things written down here. Why five? I thought we'd do three because we're Baptists. Well, five because five is the number of death in the Bible. And that's not really why I did it, but I figured we'll associate with that. Five is the number of death. You probably heard it's grace. I would say it's death. And for the wages of sin is death. So there you go. So number one, and Kyle, if you want to go back to Deuteronomy 32:22. But number one, hell is associated with fire and burning. So we've already said that, but that's important to go over again, because again, this would throw out the false teaching or the false ideologies today that say that this is just a state of mind or a, you know, state where you're not able to do anything or you're just in a grave or whatever it may be. This would throw that out because it's a place of, it's associated with fire and it's associated with burning. And so, Kyle, go ahead and read Deuteronomy 32:22, again, the first reference of hell.
For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains.
All right. Matthew 5:22, Jesus says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, this is a different dispensation. Okay. Matthew 5, this is talking about millennial kingdom stuff. But he says, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, again, this is a different dispensation. We don't have time to chase that rabbit trail. But you're not going to go to hell if you're saved, if you call someone a fool. That was kind of like a thing when we were kids. People were like, you better not call him fool. Don't call him fool. Go to hell. You know, but I mean, it does say that. But again, you have to rightly divide it. But notice again that he says, thou shalt be in danger of hell fire. So you see, actually have that phrase connected there, and the word fire and hell are connected over and over and over again. So that's important to note. Okay, number two, Cal, if you want to go to Luke 16, and this is where we'd eventually have to go. But number two, hell will be felt. So again, someone may say, well, Dylan, that's pretty obvious too. Yeah, it is obvious. But again, you have people that don't approach the Bible in an obvious, literal way. And so they make the obvious, or they try to make the obvious not so obvious. But Kyle has Luke 16, 23 and 24. This is the account where Jesus is giving on the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man actually goes to hell. So Kyle, go ahead and read verse 23 and 24.
And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
All right, so this would kind of reference us back to the body, soul, spirit episode. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that. Several weeks ago we did that. But we are body, soul, and spirit. And the way we would describe it is that our body, obviously, of course, is what you're seeing in this podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, or what we see when we see somebody. The soul is like an inner tube of our body. And then the spirit is connected with the Holy Spirit once being saved, and it is completely inside of us. So when someone goes to hell, somebody could say, well, their body doesn't go, so, you know, they don't feel it. Okay, well, the soul was so deeply connected here in this account of Luke 16 that it says he lifts up his eyes. Okay, and not only is he lifting up his eyes, but he's in torments. Okay, and he's seeing Abraham afar off. Now, this is before Christ died and resurrected. This is when Old Testament saints were in, they went to paradise, which was across a great gulf, and that this passage talks about that, from hell. And so evidently he can see across, and it says, and he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Why does he want mercy? Because he's in pain. He's in torments. And he says, for I am tormented in this flame. And he actually asks that Lazarus, that he would dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. That's interesting because, well, it's the soul. Now, we're going to say something at the end of this that may seem like that contradicts all this, but I believe, this is what I believe. I'll say this. Although the soul is definitely not like the body, and I don't think in hell will look like a body or resemble a body, I believe it will have every sense and feeling that our bodies have. And we know that's got to be the case based on Luke 16, the fact that he is every sense that he had on earth, he is having in hell. And so that's a very important thing. Now, I will say this. Kyle, if you want to go to Ezekiel 20, verse 49, I will say this. There's many people, especially the scholars, you got to watch the scholars, many people that say that this is a parable. Now, why they say this is a parable, I don't know. Normally, Jesus lets us know when he's talking about a parable. And at the beginning of Luke 16, he is laying out a parable. And so I guess they associate with, well, he's saying a parable there, then he's got to be saying a parable here. Well, I don't believe that's clear at all. And you certainly can't assume that. But he actually changes the context and begins talking about the kingdom of God in like verse 14 through verse 17. And then he's actually talking about like things about divorce in verse 18. And then he goes into talking about the rich man and Lazarus. So you're going to be hard pressed to say that this is a parable. I don't believe at all. I actually just take it literally and say, well, okay. The Lord Jesus is given an account of somebody that he was very close to, by the way, which wouldn't matter. I mean, Jesus is all-knowing anyway. But Lazarus, someone he's very close with, and he's given an account of what happened to both of these people after they drew their last breath. Okay, so go ahead and read Ezekiel 20, verse 49.
Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables?
Okay, and that's a cool cross-reference for Luke 16 because there's going to be a lot of people, just like in their allegorical approach to scripture, what God's saying in the Old Testament. I mean, there's going to be people that say, oh, he can't really mean this in a literal way. There's got to be some deeper, some alternate reality or truth that he's trying to teach us from this. Well, no, I think he's trying to teach us and show us exactly what he says in this passage of Luke 16, that one man goes to hell and is in torments. One man goes to paradise, which now would be they're now in the third heaven, and he is not in torments, and it's that simple. So you go out and study that passage for yourself. But that is a very real thing, and the Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples about that. All right, so hell, number one, we said hell is associated with fire and burning. Number two, hell will be felt. Number three, hell is eternal. Kyle, if you want to go to Revelation verse 20, Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 and 14.
Yep.
And I'm going to go to Jude verse 7. It's only one chapter, chapter 1, verse 7. And so hell is not a thing, and this is hard even to grasp our minds around fully. I still don't think I can. But the fact that, you know, because we're so associated with time, like when I think about someone being in hell and being in torment, I think, man, but then eventually, you know, something that, but no, there is no eventually. This is their destiny forever until the lake of fire, which we'll talk about that, which is no better. But it is an eternal thing. And this actually talks about it with the reference that Kyle has.
Yeah, Revelation 20, 13 and 14. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And actually in verse 10, when the devil's cast into the lake of fire, it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And if that wasn't enough, he added, and ever.
And ever, yeah, that's a good reference. I'm glad you brought that. Yeah, I brought that out too. So hell will. So all those that are in hell. This is the context of Revelation 20. Here is the Great White Throne Judgment, and this is for everyone that does not know the Lord. They were in hell. Hell. They will actually be raptured from hell, if you will, for a minute. That's probably not the best use of words because it's not like the rapture of the church. But they will be caught up to the throne of God, and will be judged, and I'll say something about that here in just a second, but they will be judged, and then they, no matter how their outcome of their judgment is, they are cast with hell into the lake of fire, and it is forever. Jude verse 7, chapter 1 verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So if we're going to call eternal life eternal, because we call it that because that's the word that the Bible uses, eternal life. Okay, that means it's life that is lasting forever. Well, then this fire is lasting forever. And these people that are associated with it, they are experiencing that. So like Luke 16, man, the rich man is experiencing that eternally, forever. Without rest. Okay, so hell is eternal. It's not a temporary holding place. There's nothing like purgatory in scripture, like the Catholic Church would try to, which they don't associate purgatory with hell, but it's like a middle chamber type thing. There's nothing like that in scripture. Okay, number four, those are three things that are very obvious, and you probably are like, yeah, I knew those things, but just for to kind of clear the air and kind of study it out and just show proof of it, because we need to be able to back up what we believe. But, you know, hell is associated with fire and burning. Hell will be felt, and hell is eternal. Okay, that's very obvious, and everybody knows that. But these last two may be maybe a little more controversial. Definitely the last one. But number four, I don't think it's controversial, but I've had people think that it is. But that is this, that at least in my opinion, for what I see in scripture, hell has levels. Okay, hell has levels. Kyle, if you want to go back to Deuteronomy 32, 22. We've been going there a lot. It's the first mention of hell, so it's good that we do. So somebody hears that and they're like, what are you talking about? You know, well, it's no different than in eternity for the believer. Again, one of the big misconceptions is that God's a big socialist in eternity. And once we all go to heaven, everything is just even across the board. No. Christ is going to have a kingdom back on this earth. Those that suffer those that give their life fully to the cause of Christ, those that are, and this is a series we're going to get to, that actually win crowns, man, those people don't have, it's not the exact same for them as it is for those that just got saved and didn't do anything with their Christian life. Does that person, that second person, still stay with Jesus forever? Yes. But it's different. So it's no different in eternity for the lost people. Okay. Hell definitely has levels. We do reap what we sow. So go ahead, Kyle, and read Deuteronomy 32:22.
For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains.
What's interesting to me about that is that phrase, the lowest hell. So that's the first time hell's mentioned, and he's talking about a lowest hell. Now, again, what someone's going to do is, oh, Dylan, you're missing the... He's talking in code there. He's just talking, you know, about how his heart feels and this and that. Okay. Well, you approach the Bible like that. You keep doing that. But I'm going to approach it literally. And he's talking about a hell that is lower than other places. And again, this is all tied back to this thing of a bottomless pit. And again, hell is in the center of the earth and all of these things that we don't necessarily have time to get to right now. But I'll cross-reference that verse with Matthew 10:15. And this is what he said. Verily, I say, he's talking about when the disciples go out and try to preach the kingdom of heaven. And if they receive him not, he says, depart out of that house and just shake the dust off your feet. Okay. Excuse me. Verse 15, he says this. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Okay, so obviously both of these people, the people that are rejecting them in this passage and the people back in Sodom and Gomorrah, both of these people they're going to be in hell. They're eternally separated from the Lord. But he says that one person has a more tolerable judgment. And you can't have a greater condemnation in judgment unless there's a different outcome in judgment. Like, you can't separate that. And so you can't say, oh, well, you know, I actually don't know what you'd say about that. But it says what it says. So the one person has a more tolerable day of judgment than the other. And again, they're both lost, non-godly people. Okay, now, Kyle read Revelation 20 earlier. What's interesting about Revelation 20 is every person that's there being judged, they are going to be cast in the lake of fire. They're coming from hell, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But what's interesting about that is, remember what Kyle read, verse 13 says, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. So why would they be judged according to their works if we already know they're going into to a eternal damnation in the lake of fire? Well, it's the same reason that a believer is judged based on their works at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not to see if we're going to heaven or if we're going to be with Jesus. That's already settled. Just like that's settled, it's settled at the Great White Throne Judgment. If you are being judged at the Great White Throne Judgment one day, it's already settled where you're going. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But the judging based of the works, what I would say very clearly, cross-referencing these verses, is that they're being judged to see what level of judgment they will receive in the lake of fire. So, do with that what you will. You agree with that, Big Cal? You disagree with any of that? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely something there for that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, Kyle, you say a lot here too on this point, but the fifth one may seem very controversial, and we're going to speed through this a little bit because we're at 40 minutes. But number five, me and Cal both believe this. If you don't believe this, this is fine. This is definitely not anything we'd ever separate over from somebody. Like, this is kind of where you get out in the weeds, if you will. Get a little crazy. But Cal, if you want to go to, at least what I have written down, unless you want to start somewhere else, if you want to go to Matthew 16:26, and I planned on going to Mark 9. But that is this. So we said that there's going to be torment in hell, Luke 16. So this is where I was talking about when I said this may sound like a contradiction to what we said from the second point, that there will be, that hell will be felt. And we talked about how the rich man looked, lifted up his eyes and all of those things. But I made a comment and I said that even though their soul will not look like, I don't believe their soul will look like it would now. And the reason I don't think it'll look like it will now is because of what we're about to lay out in this fifth point. But they will still have all the senses that they had when they were intact. Okay. And that is this. Number five. We believe that a person loses their soul in hell. Now, don't misconstrue that. Don't misunderstand that with me saying that once your soul is lost, you'll no longer feel pain. No. I believe for eternity, it's very clear from Scripture, for eternity, that person will be in torment. But what we mean by losing their soul in hell is that they'll lose their bodily shape of their soul. So again, we believe the soul is an inner tube of our body. If you take a football, that would be the rubber tubing inside the actual pigskin. That's what our soul is. And we believe that the person in hell, they will lose this over time is what I would say. So go ahead, Big Cal, if you've got Matthew 16:26.
Yeah, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Okay, so somebody could say, yeah, Dylan, that's just saying, like, don't lose your soul and go to hell. Okay, yeah, absolutely. That's what cross-referencing is for. Okay, so we can study the deep things. So yeah, you don't want to lose your soul. Okay, but we believe it goes much further than just losing your soul as far as where you'll spend eternity. But because again, we believe the person that goes to hell will eventually lose their soul in hell. Why do I say that? Because Mark 9, verse 43, it says this. Mark 9:43. Kyle, if you want to go to Psalm 22:6. But Mark 9:43 says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched." There's another eternal reference for you. But verse 44 says this, where their worm dieth not. Doesn't say where simply just the worm, but it says where their personal reception there, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Okay. So, man, where are we going with this? What is this talking about? Well, it's interesting that Christ, so what do we know about Christ when he went to the cross? Well, 2 Corinthians 5 says that he not only died for sin, it says that he became sin. Yeah, so that he became sin. And what does all that mean? Well, Psalm 22:6, go ahead and read that, Big Guy. Look what this is a prophetic Psalm from David that is talking about the crucifixion of Christ.
Yeah. Psalms 22:6, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people."
Okay. So Christ, or David here, prophetically talking about Christ on the cross, talking about himself, calls himself a worm. And that's because he became sin. And where did he go after he was buried, after he died? He went to the center of the earth. We don't have time to hit all the references of that, but he went to the center of the earth. And then again, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Praise the Lord. But this is why Jesus, it's funny what Jesus equates himself to when he's laying out the new birth in John 3. What does he compare himself to? John 3:14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, what is shaped like a worm? Well, a serpent. A serpent shaped like a worm. I know that. I'm no animal biologist. I don't know if that's actually a word. I don't think biology goes with animals, but I'm no animal biologist. But I know that worms and serpents are shaped just alike. Okay? And so that was one of the things that Jesus was so in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was so concerned about. I mean, people forget, like, Jesus is perfect and he's God, but he actually asked the Lord, hey, if it's your will, or he says, hey, Lord, if it be, let this cup pass.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you know, in other words, he wanted the Lord's will over the Father's will over his. But he asked if the cup would pass. This was one of the things he was so concerned about, is him losing his soul, the bodily shape of his soul. Okay, an interesting reference. You're like, I still don't believe that, Dylan. Okay. An interesting reference is Isaiah 66, verse 24. This is the last verse of Isaiah. Isaiah is a microcosm of the entire Bible. And it's no coincidence that just like Revelation ends with talking about the lake of fire, that Isaiah ends with talking about this. And it says this in verse 24 of Isaiah 66. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And so this is what you know. You keep studying out this whole thing of the fire in hell, the fire, you know, the eternal damnation. It's oftentimes connected with a worm. Jesus himself compares himself to a serpent on a pole, which it goes back to Numbers chapter 21. And man, it really gives this whole full circle back to what Christ says in Mark 8, Matthew 16, and these other places where he says, man, that you better make sure that you don't lose your soul. Yeah. So it's sort of like this, the way me and Kyle would, and you, Kyle, you add or tell me if you disagree anywhere. But it's like this. We know that 1 John tells us that those that are saved, that once the rapture takes place, we'll get our glorified bodies. And it says that we'll be as he is, talking about Christ. So we'll be like Jesus's post-resurrection body when we get our glorified bodies, and we'll not have the capability of sinning anymore. Praise the Lord. Okay. Why is that? Well, because we're the children of God. Okay. Well, when someone is lost and never gets saved, whether mainstream media or 2024 culture says this or not, doesn't matter. People that are lost, they're the children of Satan. And just like a Christian will end in eternity like his father, those that are lost will end in eternity like their father. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. It's no coincidence that when Satan caused the temptation, brought in sin in the world through Adam and Eve's eating of the fruit, it's no coincidence that the Lord cast him on his belly. And he said, you'll be like this. On your belly shall you go. So, man, that is a weird thing that we believe. And again, if you don't believe that last one, if you don't believe the last two, then study it out for yourself. Make sure you know why you don't believe that, not just because grandma said otherwise. But those are some things on hell. And again, is there anything crazy that you would add on that fifth point, Kyle, or anything you disagree with?
Nah. I think becoming a worm is crazy enough.
Yeah. No, it is crazy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think there's enough scripture there to back that up. I mean,
right.
It's right there. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Unless you're not taking those verses literally. I mean, then
absolutely.
Then you get whatever. But
yeah, well, like we've said, that's the problem. That's where people, it's the same problem over and over and over again. Yeah. History repeats itself. And people, when people bail on taking something literally, it's because they're like, oh, that's too weird.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's actually not hard to, people say it all the time. The Bible's not hard to understand. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
That's why people approach it allegorically, is because they don't want to believe it. Because it just, it's weird. It's wild. And I'm going to tell you, this old book, this old two-edged sword, is a wild book. It really is.
That's right.
And it tells us a lot of crazy things.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah, this but, is the I wrote down a saying here that I saw earlier, right. Talking about hell and stuff. It says, apparently this is something people say. I don't know. I don't know if I've heard it. But it says, heaven for the climate, hell for the company. So, I mean, earlier when we were talking about literal and allegorical and it being just a state of mind, you know, a lot of people believe. I mean, you do hear that a lot. It's in songs, country songs, whatever. They're going to, you know, party in hell, you know.
Have
it's
a like, beer, yeah, have a big old beer fest or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's just going to be one big party. And obviously, after those verses, I mean, unless you're not taking them literally, you can see it's torment. I mean, the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, it's, I mean, it ain't going to be no party.
Absolutely.
Especially after those worm references. I don't think you'll be having much of a party like that.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, the simple applicable things, like how we can apply something like that. Like maybe everything we said, I mean, I would say most of you probably have never heard number five. That's not why we brought it out, although we do like to bring out the weird stuff. But I would say that most of the stuff we talked about, if you're saved and you're in a Bible believing church, you knew most of this about hell. Maybe it cleared the air up for you on some things. Maybe it gave you some references to write down to help defend your position to some of these people that are not taking it literally or don't believe in it. But outside of that, two obvious applicable things. For one, if you're lost, I'd be impressed if you're lost and you listen to this whole episode. But if you're lost, again, man, like we said at the beginning, the gift of God's eternal life, which is the opposite of the eternal fire. The eternal fire is a reference, one reference, and there's one reference of eternal damnation. Eternal life's the opposite of that. And man, you can have free access and life in Jesus Christ because he paid your sin debt on the cross and he proved who he was through his resurrection. And you can have access to him. You can call upon him by faith, trusting in what he did for you and receive him as your savior. And then secondly, if you're saved, you maybe hearing this and this is mostly things you know, man, it really should motivate us to evangelize and to be a good witness, to be a soul winner. Yeah. Because it's almost like the simple things in scripture, sometimes like when they're simple, people in church do this all the time. They're like, oh, I've already heard that. I'm just going to kind of tune out once they know it's something they've already heard. But they just don't don't meditate on it and let it seep in to their heart and say, man, what am I going to do with that truth? And the same question is real with this. I mean, what am I going to do on a daily basis with the reality that there may be people that I'm going to come in contact with today, tomorrow, whenever, that literally, I mean, a very high percentage would say that they are on their way to this eternal hell. John 3:18 says that he that believeth not is condemned already. They are heading towards that. They are already in the place to be ushered into hell. They just simply are just at the place they're waiting on their last breath. And we don't know when that is. And that's a scary thing. And so it should motivate us.
Yeah, I was looking at a verse in Luke 18, that, you know, the rich young ruler. Luke 18, verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. And man, what was that one thing he lacked? John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that one thing that he lacked that he couldn't get into heaven was that new birth, right?
Yeah.
That's what we all lack, right? We're all born into that sin. Even if you think you haven't sinned yet, we're born into it, right? So
absolutely.
We all need that new birth. And as it says in Romans, you know, going down the Romans road or whatever, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, right? And believe in thine heart. We've done an episode on this. But it's that heart belief, right?
Yeah.
Confessing with your mouth, and he wants everybody to do it, right? Absolutely. He didn't make hell for us, right? He don't want man to be there.
Absolutely.
But obviously there's people that want to pay that wage for sin for themselves, I guess. They don't want to accept that gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, no, absolutely. And I will say, we, if just kind of separate from all this, but if you're listening to this on the YouTube side of things, we're trying to push this and get this, our, get our podcast, rolling better through YouTube. That's why we got the video going now. And so if you're doing the YouTube thing, man, if you'd like it, that actually helps the algorithm. Comment something. Man, we've only been on YouTube with the video side of things just for, this is only our second episode. And it's crazy, especially like in certain shorts and stuff that we'll do, how many crazy folks we get. And it,
there's just a lot of crazy people. It's tough not to get in the flesh, I ain't gonna lie.
It is. It is. I was thinking about that before this episode. I was like, man, I feel like I've had a like sweeter or more kind spirit on the last couple episodes. And that's probably why I got talking about nobody cares about your opinion except for you and your mom. That's probably where that came from. So it just makes you want to it makes me want to shoot him a bird.
Yeah.
And a spiritual bird, that is. Not a literal bird, because that's too carnal. But so
the people like commenting it, earlier, I hope you're listening. That's
right. So like it, share it. And if you're just listening on the podcast platform, man, you're a long timer or maybe you're new. If you haven't left a review on the podcast platform you listen to, man, leave a review. That'll help that on that side of things as well. We still have by far more people on that side of listening than we do YouTube. The podcast platforms are our main thing. So we definitely don't want to lose that. So if you'll help us out with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. And as always, if you have, again, these last two episodes were listener requests. So if you have a request, you can always reach out to us on Facebook or social media, or you can always email us, caffeinatedbiblechatter@gmail.com. And we will check that and see that and get rolling with that as well. And I do think, I guess coming down the pipe, Big Kai, we have a series on the crowns that we can receive at the judgment seat. And so that'll hopefully put us into an eternal mindset when it comes to soul winning and other things. So,
yeah, we just talked about degrees of hell. So now we'll talk about degrees of heaven.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So that'll be a series though. So that'll be cool. Something we can do for a couple weeks. But yeah, I'm about to go get on a boat and I'll be back in a week.
That's right.
All right. We'll see y'all in the next one. Go like, share, get this out there.